Hello to my millions of listeners. I'm here with a very beautiful and smart friend of mine. His, what do you want your name to be? Do you want to be anonymous?
CJ is good.
CJ? Okay. So CJ, okay, let me start asking you the questions. So the first question I want to ask you is, what do your tattoos signify?
My arm signifies my years of sobriety. It's AA symbol 37 times. And my other arm symbolizes the guy with his last buck bought me a shirt with this design on it, and I had a tattoo done of it. My back, the person I love, my first love, and it was my old boss. We used to call him the Spider-Man. And I have a big spider web with a daddy long leg spider. And I have assorted ravens on my body. And ravens are signifying a human being, that they are messengers of God. Because all you are is an example out there to other people with the way you act. So I love having ravens done on me.
That's interesting.
And I do have one silhouette of a woman on me, just because I love silhouettes.
What's a silhouette?
It's an outline of the shape of a female body.
Oh.
With the boob right here, and the waist.
And what's that up there on the neck?
These are my last best 12 years of work. We're at Publix supermarket. And that's the store numbers of all the stores I've worked at. And each one has lifetime friends of mine working at them still.
Oh, cool. So, that's awesome.
I just signify what went on in my life till I retired from Publix. And the last store I worked at was 865, and they're all still very, very good friends of mine, and I communicate with them daily.
Daily?
Daily.
Wow.
On Facebook.
On Facebook. Alright, so then, do you want me to ask you about the dad thing?
The dad
thing? Yeah. What makes you proud to be a dad?
Because I know you have... I was a single dad.
You were a single dad?
His mom went back to drinking and drugs. And we had a little intervention. She kind of took the drinking and the drugs and left me with the kids. And being a dad is, I always have my best friends with me the rest of my life. And that's so cool because my kids are all kind of outgoing. They're all very self-reliant because they had to be. If somebody needed something for a function at school where they were going on a field trip, they had to go out and earn the money themselves. And when dad was tired and he worked his full day job and was cleaning banks and buildings at night, and he couldn't catch up, the kids came out and helped me.
Wow.
So, very self-reliant people. And you can dress them up and take them out anywhere and they'll fit in. Because they've had to.
That's awesome.
That's about it.
Alright.
We're going to...
Tell us about something major, life-changing in your life, like an event, something that happened which changed your life. Or it could be an event, or it could be many, multiple events.
Well, it extended to most of my 37 years of being sober. And the major event was deciding to learn how to live than to want to kill myself every day. Because after I took, you know, a bottle of Valium, after having my 12 beers and turned the gas on the oven, I found myself on my knees screaming to God that I wanted to live more than I wanted to die. And I knew somebody was happy with their life. And I went to see him, and he showed me the road to AA. The road to recovery, the road to sobriety, and the road to a positive way of life. He gave me a book called Living Sober, And that's teaching you how to be an extrovert when you've been bottling your feelings in. I bottled all my feelings in for 23 years because I didn't know how to fit in unless I was a people pleaser. And when that didn't work, I hid in alcohol and drugs. So he taught me how to slowly start that positive process in life and become the outgoing individual that I am today.
Yeah, you're very outgoing. You know, yeah, I mean, I'm not a good people pleaser either. I mean, I don't get along with most people because I have a very strong personality. It's just who I am. And I just turned to sex. Anyways, so have you ever been in a gangbang?
Oh, an S&M kind of deal.
S&M is what again? I forget. Isn't that like dominatrix? Or? I forget.
Well, I hooked up with this couple when I was hitchhiking on the Orange Blossom Trail back when I was 18 and I was still dealing drugs, using, and drinking. And I was hitchhiking for parties, let's say. And there were three couples at this one barn. And they decided that they were going to try extreme things on me. So I was brutally raped. I was raped with objects. I was raped with food. I was raped, you know, with fists, with sticks. And then they decided that they wanted to see me bleed.
Oh my god.
So they nailed me.
Oh my god.
To the rafters.
That's horrible.
And somebody's a neighbor or somebody came in or something. I didn't even see them. It was a hearsay story that they found me just about dead.
Wow.
And I had tons of drugs. They just fed me drugs, and I took everything that they fed me.
Well, did you, I mean, that's a horrible experience, but I mean, have you ever been in, like, a consensual gangbang where you actually enjoyed it? Like, you know, like...
Not really. It was just mainly threesomes, foursomes, and fivesomes, and that kind of stuff that you just had kind of intimate sex with. Not a long-term thing. It was just kind of a line outside of my room or something here at a bathhouse. And back in Toronto, when I used to go to bathhouses, that they had gangbang rooms where you just jumped in the middle and had fun.
Yeah. No, I've been in gangbangs where, like, there's five guys, like, it's like they treat me like I'm the woman. And, like, you know, I'm the only bottom. They take turns on me.
They take turns on me. But this had fetish rooms where you just, more or less, the bottoms were in the middle and you just took turns on them and everybody did. And, you know, there could have been 20 to 30 people there. There could have been 15. I didn't really know because it was kind of dark.
Yeah, it was dark. All right. Well, here. Let me see. Are you a top or a bottom or both?
I am both.
And which one do you do?
I prefer to be a top.
You prefer top.
Because I'm so heavily pierced that many people want it.
Oh.
I have 27 piercings and 2 Prince Alberts on my penis. And I kind of did that later in life. I don't know if I was punishing myself for being HIV positive. Or punishing myself for coming out of the closet finally after raising all these children and being the person I wanted to be sexually. I don't really complicate things these days. I just roll with my feelings. Mm-hmm. And I roll with the people I'm with. I still have that in me that my job is to please the person I am with. Not necessarily myself. I don't necessarily have to get off every time.
Every time you have sex?
Every time I have sex, no. I want them to be happy.
That's good. That's good. So, tell the millions of listeners one of your favorite sex positions.
My favorite sex positions? Oh, I love to rim, so if I get somebody small framed, you know, even an Asian or something like that, I just love to, you know, stand right on their head and drill their hole with my tongue.
Stand on their head?
Yeah.
How do you stand on their head?
Just pick them right up. They're small enough I can pick their bodies right up. And then pick them up a little higher as they go and have them suck my dick while I'm eating them.
So 69.
It's kind of like an 11.
It's an 11. That's a good one. I gotta try that. Alright, so, let me see. If you had to choose between getting $20 million, but you will die in the next 10 years, or would you just choose to live on? And I know that you said that,
I'm 60 years old, I'd take the 20 million.
Yeah, but like, what if you were like 20 years old, and you would die at 30?
20 years old, and... No, I would rather live my life again, because I've just had so many beautiful things, and so many beautiful people, and I wouldn't give them up for money, ever.
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 Yeah.
I have thousands of AA friends.
See, I'm the opposite. I would take the money and run.
But that's fine, though. I have the 60 years of saying that, you know, friends are so much more important.
But you can have both at the same time, you don't think?
There could be a balance in my life, but I have what I need today.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
And you...
Alright, sorry about that. So, so where were we again? We were talking about...
Talking about all that money.
Oh, yeah. Yes. And then now, the question I was going to ask you, how old was the sexiest person you have been with, and how old were you at the time?
47 was the person I was with. From California. And he had put a party out online at the Parliament House. And I was the first one to be there. And he was a big old beefcake, a little country boy look. Built like a brick shit house. I was 60 years old. He was the bottom and he wanted my piercings. But he just had something in him that was unreal. I mean, we just chewed at each other like fucking animals. He actually bent two of the bars of my piercings on my cock. So that's a fucking keeper, man. I've never had anything like it.
He bent it?
He bent two of my... I had to replace two of my posts on my cock.
Wow.
I mean, that's a man who knows how to handle a cock.
I guess. Wow. And didn't you
I was walking around like a woman who had an orgasm. Just total satisfaction and giddiness after that session. And I never came that day.
Oh. But what happened?
I just had that excruciating of a body orgasm that I had total satisfaction. And very few can do that for me.
So when was that one time you told me once you lost your piercing in someone's... ass.
Someone's ass. That's when I got a room one day here. And I'm not typically a bottom that much. But, you know, if that's their thing, I roll with it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I had three in a row, and I don't know which one I lost a piercing, and I just felt an awful pinching.
Oh.
And I lost the thing because it was actually hurting me with the screw-in part to the ball was pinching into my cock, so I knew I lost a ball.
Oh, okay.
But I didn't realize that till after I got home.
Oh, okay.
So I'm looking around the house to see if when I undressed or I took a shower when I got home, if it was there. So it wasn't there, so there's only one place it can be.
Yeah, there's only one.
And one of the three people that I did not get a name for. But it will come out in the stool eventually.
What's it called? Do you have any major regrets in your life?
Actually, no.
No?
Actually, no. So, I have an amazing peace of mind.
That's good, that's good.
Too many people have touched my heart that it's really full.
Have I asked you this? What's the most wild sex you've ever had? No, I haven't.
Well, that was pretty much that guy that was 37.
Oh, that guy?
That guy. That was my wildest guy. You know, those few cocksuckers here that can suck me off, that give me good sex, but nothing was compared to that guy from California.
Alright, I guess I got one last question, and then you can say whatever you want before we go. So, last question is, what would you do right now if you had $10 million? What would you do specifically?
Specifically? Probably buy every one of my children and myself a home, I guess. In a car that's paid for, because once you get those kind of things out of the way, then you can have money to live your life.
Yep.
I do a lot of... I'm big about... In AA, they teach you about doing a random act of kindness every day.
Oh, really?
So I might go around with $100 bills and just give somebody a hug.
Go to the strip club.
Give somebody a hug and... slip them $100, and you know, that's an AA meeting that probably hasn't seen $100 bill in their whole fucking life. I would do things like that. Even now, I ask for nothing on Christmas. I do not want presents. I always get, you know, a few $100 worth of $50 bills, and they end up in somebody's pocket. And it's totally, you know, they don't even know who did it.
That's interesting.
And that just makes you so much of a better person. Because they don't know you're doing it, and I don't go around bragging that I do it.
That's interesting.
So that's pretty much it. I love random acts of kindness. It makes you a hell of a person.
I agree.
So they say, I've got what I need today. You know, want.
So
they're not really that important to me.
So
what's inside is more important.
I agree. What's inside is more important. So what else, do you want to say anything else before you're done? Like any stories or anything else? Any final words?
And you know, I have lots of stories over the years. Excuse me. Most of my stories are dealing with people. I know dealing with people, if they use a lot of if, ands, and buts, they're usually bullshitting. I got that, I taught that as a young kid because my mother used to say, where you been tonight, Joseph? And I'd say, and we went here and if, and she knew I was full of shit. So I had to manipulate that bad, and it was really hard. So even in this day and age, I can tell somebody if they're wrapped up in their bullshit or not, and you know, you're cordial to that kind of person. And then you move on to somebody that's genuine. I love genuine people. I love the simplicity of life that, you know, you at your age, you're coming into your 20s where you'll see yourself, or you won't see outside of yourself that much because you're trying to find self. And then you slowly find yourself. You know, in your 30s and 40s, even though you're so busy with life, you know, raising children, paying the man, trying to keep the electric on, all these little things in life that you have to do. And then you get into your 50s and you start hearing other people that are more and more genuine. And you start applying it to yourself. It makes you grow as a human being so much. And you learned how important, you know, touch is. And it's just the greatest thing in the world. If you see an old couple and they're still holding hands, the love is still there. You see an old couple and they wouldn't get near each other for the hell of it, you know it's not still there. It's the same in the young couple too. Touch is the most important thing in a relationship.
It is, yeah, I agree.
So, all I need to do now is get one. I'm having fun with life. I go to my AA meetings and I say, you know what I do? I got an S&M lifestyle. I sit in the sun in the morning and I go to meetings at night. So I got an S&M lifestyle now that I'm retired.
That is a good lifestyle.
So that's about it for me. Any other questions, young man?
That's it. That's it.
Anything else you want to know about me? Crazy people that I've helped out in AA?
Tell me about a crazy person you helped out in AA.
The first one I sponsored was a drag queen. It was a 6'5" tall Indian named Howard. And he had a couple teeth and long hair. And he just didn't look good as a girl whatsoever. But the kids, my kids loved him. He was anti-Howie to them. He'd watch the kids so I could go to meetings. He ended up dying of sleep in 1980. I think he was probably a first person that got AIDS. And it wasn't registered. This was up in New York State, so it's very probable that that's what happened.
1980s, wow.
Because I asked the coroner what he died from, and he said act of God.
Huh. Act of God. So that means AIDS.
That means they didn't understand what it was back then. In 1980 itself, that's when he died.
Wow.
He was a good human being. I sponsored beer ones, you know. I was going to set up coffee one 6:30 in the morning, a meeting people that, you know, needed a meeting before they went into work and worked a long day and couldn't get to one at night. They'd go to a 6:30 in the morning meeting. I went to set up and make coffee for this. In Rochester, New York, they had a red light district. And there was still a hooker out there with her bottle of JB. And she came out and kicked my car because I was ignoring her. And she was drunk as hell. I says, honey, do you really want to live this way anymore? And she just broke into tears. So I put her in the car and that bottle was still on the corner. And she came to the AA meeting and I set her up with a few of the women there. And old Cindy is still sober today, 32 years. I love her dearly.
Wow.
So
that breaks my heart. I mean, that's amazing.
She is amazing. Old hooker off the street corner. She always says, my name is Cindy, I'm an alcoholic, and I stay sober no matter what. Love her. You get so much love working with people. So that's about it.
Wow. That's amazing. Definitely, if you ever want in the future, we could do this again. You know, I've done sequels where I do part two, part three with other people. So.
I've got lots of stories.
Yeah. All right, so say bye then to everybody.
Okay. Bye. CJ out.
Augusto out. Bye. Well, let me see where I gotta
be different.